All right, folks, just in news, we've got a Trump-appointed judge doing the right thing. We'll get into that. But I want to back up a second. I want to back up a second from the previous White House press briefing where Karine Jean-Pierre let people know that grifter and ne'er-do-weller Hunter Biden and his aunt, oh yeah, they did the right thing by the American taxpayer. Listen to this malarkey.
Listen, just to close the book on Ireland, since we just got back, it was a highly personal trip. There were a lot of cousins there. Did Valerie...
Everyone's laughing because comedy is best when it's based on truth, and it's true. They had all kinds of oh, Bidens there and Bidens there. It was almost like a taxpayer-paid family reunion. But that's totally normal, according to Karine Jean-Pierre.
And Hunter Biden, they flew on Air Force One. Did they contribute? Did they pay for airfare, accommodations, ground transportation? What?
I think, look, we took, they? We, this is not the first time. Let's be very, very clear. It is consistent with other presidents when they've had family travel with them abroad. This is nothing new. So I just want to make sure that we make that very clear to the American people. And of course, we followed every protocol that any other president or every other president has taken when they when their family has traveled. And so, yes. All right. No, I'm gonna go. So we took every protocol that is necessary and needed when a family traveled. We did nothing different than past presidents. And so, yes, they paid for their way.
The share.
Yeah. Like every other, this is not unusual. This is not the first time that families have traveled with presidents. So there's nothing.
All right, then. So I guess the answer simply is that we, the taxpayer, did not foot the bill for Hunter's cocaine, for his hookers, and for his other deviancy. Absolute ridiculousness. Absolute ridiculousness. What malarkey. Welcome to Open Source News. Let's get into the news here. Let's talk about what happened in St. Louis the other day. The Georgie Porgy Zorro funded St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner allowed a murderer to go free. But you have to hear how this happened. This was the other day, Tuesday, I believe. In a murder case in St. Louis, Kim Gardner's prosecutors never even showed up. As a result, the killer was allowed to walk free. I swear I am not making this up. Here's a news story. St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner could be held in contempt of court after a prosecutor in her office no-showed a murder trial Monday mornings. That was Monday. Judge Scott Milliken sent a notice to Gardner's office asking her to appear before him on the morning of April 24th to show cause why you should not be adjudged in contempt of this court. If Gardner fails to appear or show cause, then Judge Milliken can levy a fine against the city's chief prosecutor, put her in jail, or both. Wow. An assistant circuit attorney was supposed to appear for the trial of Jonathan Jones, who is charged with first-degree murder and armed criminal action for the September 6, 2021 shooting death of Brandon Scott near the Gateway Arch. Jones and his public defender attorney, Cecilia Appleberry, were in court at 9 a.m. Monday for the scheduled start of a jury trial. When no one from the circuit attorney's office appeared, Appleberry filed a motion to dismiss the case outright. The trial has delayed a week while Judge Milliken requests an audience with Gardner. The latest blemish on Gardner's public image, like she needed blemish on her public image, it's been blemished for a very long time, to say the least, comes just days after a prosecutor in her office abruptly resigned. It was the prosecutor in the Daniel Rally case. He's a man accused in the tragic crash which caused Janae Edmondson to lose both her legs. Remember that one? She was there for a sports tournament. What was it? Volleyball, softball? I don't remember. What image is being tarnished here? This is just adding more and more to this ridiculousness. Now, let's talk about what happened, what's going on with Kyle Rittenhouse. This is all news that you want to know, I'm sure, folks. That's why we're doing this late edition or early morning edition, depending on what time zone and if you're in North America or not. By the way, I want to thank all of you, give you a big hug. My name is James, the Based Conservative Patriot. I want to thank all of you for your support on this program. We get hammered by YouTube every once in a while. We're in the middle of it right now. So happy that you folks look for our program, because we're getting notices that you're not getting notices, but you're still looking for us. Please follow me on social media. All my social media accounts are down below. I post links to the latest YouTube videos sometimes a couple hours before they even go live or are published for public consumption. So follow me on social media and you will always know when I have a new video. But if you're on YouTube, please press like, share, and subscribe and hit the notification bell, because when the system works, it works well and you will be notified. Now, this is the latest thing happening to Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse has turned the tables and announced he is countersuing Gage Grosskreutz, one of the armed Black Lives Matter rioters who attacked him. Grosskreutz pointed a gun in Rittenhouse's face during the rioting in Kenosha, Wisconsin, in August of 2020, forcing the then teen to defend himself with appropriate force. During Rittenhouse's trial, Grosskreutz took the stand and admitted he pointed a gun at the armed 17-year-old first before he was shot in the arm. The prosecutors were stunned by his admission in open court, knowing a not guilty verdict for Rittenhouse would follow, and did not handle the moment well. Grosskreutz then sued Rittenhouse for emotional distress, humiliation, loss of enjoyment of life, and other pain and suffering on all claims. Rittenhouse is now fighting back, however, and will countersue Grosskreutz. He released this a statement a few days ago. So I had missed this report, and I wanted to make sure that you're aware of it, that the deep state is still trying to punish Kyle Rittenhouse, and luckily, though he's a young man, he is fighting back. You go, Kyle. BCP Juniorette covered this in depth in her program yesterday, but I do want to mention it here, that migrant encounters at the U.S. border with Mexico surged almost 25% last month. Migrant encounters at the U.S. border with Mexico surged 23% in March over February, combining migrant encounters between ports of entry and those non-citizens processed at ports of entry. The U.S. and Customs Border Protection tallied 191,000 arrivals in March. That figure stands considerably higher than the 156,000 tallied in February. Acting CBP Commissioner Troy Miller stressed that the March figures were down compared with March of the prior year, saying CBP works around the clock to perform our vital missions, including maintaining border security. No, what they are now, what the CBP is, that's Customs and Border Protection, what ICE is, with Department of Homeland Security, and everyone else that has purview over immigration and the border, they are just one big fat welcoming committee to the open border policy of the former vice president. But here is what you want to know, folks. Two-thirds of those March encounters were single adults, mostly males, military age. The softest, quietest invasion of a country probably in world history. The sad thing is the CBP tried to pass it off as typical. Let's talk about the Biden economy. Commercial real estate sector in the U.S. is in a crisis situation. Major office properties are facing defaults on their loans, and there are billions in loans coming due in the next few years. Commercial real estate is often the purview of regional banks, and with this banking crisis already happening, bank runs and other things that are favoring the too big to fail banks, this is going to hurt regional banks again. Wow. The best commercial real estate is rated Class A. This is the best commercial real estate that is expected to maintain its value and more likely to grow in value. but this isn't happening in the O'Biden economy. For instance, a pair of Class A office towers in California recently sold at a 36% discount. Now, I check in with Zero Hedge, and this is what Zero Hedge is saying. With recent stress in the regional banking sector, sentiment in U.S. commercial real estate, and especially the office sector, has turned negative as investors prepare for potential spillover effects, especially as high-profile defaults continue to make headlines as borrowers face higher debt service costs and refinancing becomes much harder ahead of a $400 billion debt maturities this year alone. We're talking about what's going on at JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs. This, folks, is a gloom parade. Just want to give you the dots so you know where the economy is going. According to Zero Hedge, the U.S. is facing $400 billion in commercial property loans maturing this year and $2.5 trillion in the next 5 years. So with SVB failing, Signature Bank failing, these commercial assets are a major concern. We need to be aware of what's going on. All right, let's go over to New York. This is real news. This isn't fake. CBS New York reporting on Monday. Mayor Eric Adams vows to reduce New York City's food-based emissions at agencies by 33% in the next 7 years. Not worried so much about crime, complaining about the fact that he gave a red carpet to illegal immigrants by saying they're a sanctuary city and they took him up on it. All these other woes, but what we must do, according to New York City Mayor Eric Adams, is limit the amount of meat people can eat in an effort to combat climate change. Adam wants to reduce food-based gas emissions in the next 7 years, as the headline says, by 33%. Quote, food is the third biggest source of cities' emissions right after buildings and transportation. But all food is not created equal. The vast majority of food that is contributing to our emission crisis lies in meat and dairy products. How evil are these Marxists? They're going after food and water. By the way, folks, I need to probably get into this. Here's an aside. Here's me going a little bit on a tangent. It is late, and I do this sometimes. Some of the biggest people in finance, some of the people that saw the big crash coming of 2008, are focused on the scarcity of water. That's where they're putting their money. Just so I throw that out there so that you are aware of it. If you want me to cover this topic, please let me know in the comments down below. So now they're going after the food. You see how evil these people are? By the way, if I'm correct, Mayor Eric Adams is a vegan. So he's pushing his dietary lifestyle on New York City under the guise of combating climate change. Quote, according to the new data released by the city, 20% of the Big Apple's greenhouse gas emissions come from fruit production and consumption. How evil is this, folks? They are, this climate religion is so evil that they are villainizing people eating. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty addicted to food and air. I find food, I don't know about you folks, but I find food pretty vital, as you can see from my fat cheeks. I think I'm fatter than I was at the end of the year when I told you I would lose weight. Started to go back on my keto diet, and I realized that that's not going to work for me long term after having my cholesterol checked. So, hell, in the meantime, I'm just eating all the tortillas my wife puts in front of me. But that's my right, that's my prerogative. Not according to Eric Adams and the other psychophants and worshipers at the Church of Greenhouse Emission Stoppage, aka the Green Agenda, aka the climate alarmists. The mayor is now vowing to reduce the city's food-based emissions. I'm done with this story. Just thought I'd throw it out there. I found it interesting. But let's say that was just a segue into the story that I want to cover with you. Justin, Trump-appointed judge, denies Bragg's request to block subpoenas of ex-prosecutor and Hillary Clinton lawyer. A federal judge on Wednesday denied Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's request to block the House GOP subpoena of ex-prosecutor and former Hillary Clinton lawyer Mark Pomerantz. U.S. District Judge Mary Kay Vyskochel, a Trump appointee, said there is no legal basis to block House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan's subpoena. So that's what we have coming out on the 19th, Wednesday, April 19th. Here's the AP's coverage of it. A federal judge will let House Republicans question a former Manhattan prosecutor about the criminal case against former President Donald Trump, ruling Wednesday that there is no legal basis to block the House Judiciary Committee subpoena. Isn't that interesting? We have a DA, a district attorney, who tried to block a subpoena that has no legal basis. Oh, I don't know. The same guy who had no legal basis to issue 34 felony counts against the former president on, pun intended, trumped up charges. U.S. District Judge rejected Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's request for a temporary restraining order and injunction, finding that committee chair Representative Jim Jordan, Republican out of Ohio, issued the subpoena to former prosecutor Mark Pomerantz with valid legislative purpose. Vyskochel, I'm butchering the name, Vyskochel, a Trump appointee, issued the ruling hours after a hearing in which she peppered lawyers on both sides with questions, asking them to parse thorny issues of sovereignty, separation of powers, and congressional oversights arising from the historic indictment. Acknowledging the political dogfight surrounding the case, the judge said in her ruling that she does not endorse either side's agenda. She encouraged both sides to speak and reach a mutually agreeable compromise on how Pomerantz's deposition will proceed. Once again, Pomerantz once oversaw the year-long Trump investigation but left the job after clashing with Bragg's over the direction of the case. Pomerantz later wrote a book about his work pursuing Trump and discussed the investigation in recent interviews on 60 Minutes and other shows. Once again, not only does Jim Jordan have valid legislative prerogative and reason for these subpoenas, but also there's no reason why Pomerantz should be blocked when he's openly vomiting and throwing up everything that went on and how he was upset that DA Bragg originally dropped the Trump case. Bragg, a Democrat, said Jordan and the Judiciary Committee last week, Bragg, a Democrat, sued Jordan last week to block the deposition. There's a little bit of drama that went on, and I want to share this with you. This makes, for me, makes this an interesting story. The judge aggressively questioned lawyers for Bragg, who is prosecuting Trump, and the House Judiciary Committee, which started scrutinizing Bragg's investigation. This is what the judge said. Quote, I'm talking about the subpoena. That's what's in front of me. Not all the political rhetoric that's been flying back and forth. That's all color. That's all theater. But it's not what's in front of me. She wanted to argue the basis of the actual subpoena. A committee lawyer, Matthew Berry, well, first of all, the attorney said House Republicans' interest in Bragg amounted to Congress jumping in and haranguing the DA while the prosecution is ongoing. So Bragg's people are trying to say, oh, this is all political because we have an indictment against President Trump, which is all political. Now, the committee attorney, Matthew Berry, countered that Congress has legitimate legislative reasons for wanting to question Pomerantz and examine Bragg's prosecutor Trump, citing the office's use of the $5,000 in federal funds to pay for Trump-related investigations. So it goes back to the fact that, as we reported here, though relatively small amount of $5,000, they did use federal funds to prosecute President Trump. And since those federal funds are overseen by Congress, who has the power of the purse, voila, all theater, all politics aside, you look at the basics, facts, the subpoena is valid on that point alone. Imagine a judge actually using the law to do the right thing. Okay, former Trump CFO, by the way, Weisselberg, was just released from Rikers Island after 99 days of his 5-month sentence. Remember, he pleaded guilty for tax fraud. Weisselberg pleaded guilty under a deal with prosecutors, admitting that he took millions of dollars in off-the-books benefits while working for Donald Trump's business empire, but he refused to testify against Trump. And if also, if you recall in my reporting of this last year, no one goes to jail for this. This is a misdemeanor at best in New York City. But of course, because this is a political attack on Trump, Trump Organization, and Trump allies, Weisselberg, though 75, spent just under 100 days in Rikers Island prison. Folks, we surely are a third world country. All right, folks, those are the few stories I want to bring you up to speed. I'm tracking other stories that are developing, and I'll have those for you, depending on you when you're watching this, later today or tomorrow, meaning Thursday the 20th. Until the next one, ciao, goodbye, God bless. Please check the links to our other programming down below.